Hare Krishna. So I'm so grateful to be here. Srila Prabhupada's appearance day and his disappearance day are my favorite days of the year because we get to hear so much about Srila Prabhupada. It's amazing. I moved into the temple in Boston in the fall of 1971. Bhardwaj was there. And the reason I did is all the devotees there, when they would talk about Srila Prabhupada, they would just light up, and they all had their little Prabhupada stories. And it was just so amazing to see that all these devotees had so much love for Srila Prabhupada. You could, feel it, and when they would talk about him, they would just light up. And I can remember hearing these stories, and I really... Srila Prabhupada, he was very serious and grave, but he also had a great sense of humor. And you wouldn't always expect some ways that he would answer questions. And I can remember in those early days hearing some stories. I'll tell just a couple. When Srila Prabhupada was talking about the lakes that Lord Parashuram made, and they filled up with blood. He killed so many kshatriyas. And then a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, well, what happened to all the blood? And Srila Prabhupada just said, well, it coagulated and sank to the bottom. So just these little things, but it made, such an impression on me, as a new devotee. And this other story, when Maharaj was giving class on Govardhan Puja the other day, talking about how the mountains are living entities. There was a walk, this was told to me by Prajapati, this was in 1972. He was the temple president in Boston at that time. And he was with a walk with Srila Prabhupada in New York. And during the walk, Srila Prabhupada stopped and held out his foot. And immediately he said, Bhagavan, who was also there, Prabhu, he went down and took off Srila Prabhupada's shoe, and a little rock was in there, and he emptied out the rock out of Srila Prabhupada's shoe. And they kept walking for a little while in silence, and then Srila Prabhupada said, why do they do that? And nobody understood what he was talking about. And he said again, why do they do that? And he said, why do the rocks jump in my shoe like that? And somebody said, well, Srila Prabhupada, are the rocks living entities? And he said, not the dead ones. So, and, in those early days also, I just really loved how Satsarup Maharaj would tell these stories about 22nd Avenue and how Prabhupada was very inquisitive. And he'd be, asking the devotees a lot of questions, finding out about, the American way of life. And from that time, I thought, wow, that would be so wonderful if, Srila Prabhupada would ask you a question and you could answer him. So I had a little desire like that. I never asked a question of Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada asked me a few questions. So there was this one time in New Vrindavan on a morning walk, and as we were walking, a calf came down off the side of the hill and started walking in front of us, and Srila Prabhupada, put his cane in the dirt there, and he stopped and he said, how old is that calf? And I was like right next to him, so I heard him clearly. And when I first came to New Vrindavan, I was actually one of the cowherd boys. And, I used to work with the cows, and I knew about the cows. But at this point, I hadn't, for a few years, worked with the cows. So I was looking around to see if one of the cowherd boys were there who could answer this question for Srila Prabhupada. But there was nobody there, so I looked really hard at the calf, and I noticed, the milk bag hadn't dropped down. So I said, oh, that calf is very young, Srila Prabhupada. The milk bag hasn't dropped down. And Srila Prabhupada looked at me and he said, I know that. So I felt, oh my God, what a fool I was, that I could offer Srila Prabhupada, something you know, but I heard him ask the question. So actually, you know, as the walk was going along, I kind of went more to the back of the walk. I was feeling a little bad. But the very next day, after the Bhagavatam class and the Guru Pooj, Srila Prabhupada would go out to his car and they would drive him to where he was staying. So this one time, you know, we had a little kirtan, somebody would open up the door and he'd usually get in and they'd drive away. But this time, they opened the door and Srila Prabhupada didn't get in the car. He was just looking out over the top of the car. And then he turned, and I happened to also be standing right next to him at this time also. And he had this little smile on his face, and he turned to me and he said, "What are they growing over there?" And I happened to know that we had planted mung beans. So I said, "Oh, those are mung beans, Srila Prabhupada." And he said, "Oh, thank you very much." And I couldn't believe it, you know, that he gave me another chance to answer one of his questions. And it was such, you know, such a small thing, and, you know, anybody there wouldn't really know the significance, but it was huge for me. You know, and it just made me feel like, you know, Srila Prabhupada knew me, he knew my mind, he gave me another chance to do this stupid little, you know, thing of answering a question. But it was just so endearing, and, you know, I've heard stories from other people that Srila Prabhupada would do that to a lot of devotees and just make them feel, you know, so wonderful. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So Mother Sukata and then Ramanya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, I also feel so fortunate on these days just to be able to hear all the pastimes with Srila Prabhupada, new ones and old ones, they're all so wonderful. So much so that I often think that, you know, there's the book Bhagavat, but then there's the person Bhagavat, that we should study these pastimes in depth, you know, almost as much as we study, you know, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, because just the interactions that Prabhupada had with all different devotees and just his gentleness and his kindness and his concern comes through so clearly. So I do hope that that happens more and more as time goes on, even when we're gone. Our movement is really fortunate in so many ways that when you study history, there's primary sources and secondary sources. In primary sources, those are the incidents that take place, you know, during that time period. So that would mean like the pastimes that the devotees are telling, the experiences they had with Prabhupada, and then, you know, the biographies that they've written. And of course, we have all the videos and all the tapes. Like, we have more resources than there's ever been in history to keep this movement going on, you know? It's just amazing what we have. So sometimes I think, oh, I didn't have that much association with Srila Prabhupada, but when people start talking, I start remembering, oh yeah, there was this, oh yeah, there was that. Like the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada was in Miami. Abhi Ram was temple president, and he asked Nartaka Gopal and I to put rose water and flower petals in front of Srila Prabhupada as he came out of the airport door. So we're all waiting and waiting and waiting. And when Srila Prabhupada emerged, I remember just like time standing still for a second. And even without, I mean, I'd been reading his books and all that, but I felt this is the first time in my life that I'm not disappointed with an event. Usually there's all this buildup to whatever it is. You're going to be 10, or you're going to be 16, or, you know, your first date, or, you know, graduate from college, or, you know, it was just like, oh, like, oh, such a disappointment. But here was something that was so much more than I could ever have expected. There was one other time in New York when Abhi Ram had flown the Sankirtan girls up to New York for Rath Yatra in 1976. And so we got there, and we were really tired. I think we arrived super late, so everyone was going straight to the site, the Rathiatra site. But I said, well, where's Prabhupada? And they said, well, he's still here. He hasn't left yet. So I said, well, I'm just going to stay here then until I see him. So myself and another devotee, Dira, we started peddling flowers. We had a big bag. We're peddling. I'm kind of waiting for, you know, the kirtan and Prabhupada to come out. But all of a sudden, I looked up and he was right in front of me, and I was like startled. So I paid my obeisances, and luckily, Dira, she took a picture of me, Prabhupada looking down at me, and I'm paying my obeisances. But when I got up, we had the big bag of flower petals, and Prabhupada was already in the car. So we got into a taxi cab, and we. It's difficult in New York, you know, but somehow or other we ended up in the same spot, and we were able to, you know, throw flowers on Prabhupada. It's the only time I could never understand groupies, you know, it kind of really evaded me, you know, screaming over the Beatles or this or that, but I was so happy to be a groupie for Srila Prabhupada. I just picked out a couple of pastimes. I know I don't have much time, so you know, just tell me when you're ready for the cane, you know, and I'll be quiet, you know. But there's so many amazing, amazing little stories. So I'll just read a couple of them here. This was a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote. Prabhupada said, there are many examples in the history of persons who have been very much disabled physically, but who still have executed Krishna consciousness. Still, up to date, in places like Vrindavan, India, there are many persons who are blind, crippled, lame, deformed, but they are determined to practice Krishna consciousness to their best ability. Simply be determined to practice the process of bhakti yoga with whatever abilities you have. If you are really sincere, then Krishna will give you help. If you require any help, any medical help, you take as much as needed. This was about Prabhupada's schedule, as people have spoken about. Prabhupada followed his own schedule and only occasionally departed from it. He was supposed to take massage at about 11 or 11:30 in the morning, but if he had guests and was preaching, he would not stop for the schedule. Or at night, he would keep talking, especially with some life member or solicitor in Bombay, but he was never whimsical about time or about where to be for Krishna's service. Once, after walking along Juhu Beach for half an hour, Dr. Patel, one of his friends who joined us to walk, suggested that we turn back. Prabhupada looked at his watch and said that it was too early. The deity of Radha Rasa Bihari would not give darshan for another hour. Dr. Patel said, if you come back early, since you are a pure devotee, Krishna can give darshan early. Prabhupada said, that is out of the question. We cannot change the deity's schedule to suit our own. He never went off alone without devotees accompanying him. It was unheard of that he would say, I'm leaving for a few days, or I'm going on some private business, or I'm going on a vacation. Everything was done at the right Krishna conscious moment, even his solitude. One could overhear it as he produced the Bhagavatam, or when he was chanting Hare Krishna mantra on beads. The silence of his pure consciousness, we could not try to understand, but there were glimpses of it when he would sometimes tell us of a dream he had, or he would reveal something he had been thinking of alone. And, okay, I especially wanted to read. Okay, this one. I wanted to read this one because I thought, you know, we've all had, like, maybe a similar experience, or we've come close to it. This is by Haridandana Maharaj. But I just loved it. One morning we were walking with Srila Prabhupada in Battery Park in New York City. And this particular morning, Srila Prabhupada wasn't talking, and he told us, chant Hare Krishna. He wanted us to chant japa, and he was also chanting japa. By a stroke of good fortune, my japa was coming out nicely that day. I was chanting my japa very enthusiastically, and Prabhupada appreciated it. He was encouraging me by his glances. It was an intimate, confidential thing. I was feeling ecstatic, and Prabhupada was glancing at me, acknowledging my ecstasy. As my spiritual master, he was encouraging me, and I was also looking to him with great gratitude and reverence, in understanding that all of my ecstasy was actually coming from his lotus feet. Then, as we were walking in the park, I suddenly realized we were in Vrindavan. By Prabhupada's mercy, the whole park had been transformed into the spiritual world. I felt I was in Vrindavan. As I was walking and chanting more enthusiastically, I realized that Prabhupada, by his causeless mercy upon me, had manifested the spiritual world within that park in Brooklyn. I became more ecstatic, realizing that somehow or other, Radha and Krishna and Lord Balaram and the Cowherd Boys and everyone were somehow in that park. As I was realizing this, Prabhupada glanced at me, and I realized that he was giving me his special mercy. I was somehow getting this wonderful insight, looking at him with gratitude as he glanced his approval because I was chanting enthusiastically. Of course, my realization was completely insignificant compared to Prabhupada's understanding, but still, I was like his child, and he was encouraging me in my ecstasy. So it's all there in the holy name. Hare Krishna.
Ramanya Prabhu and then Mother Narataka Gopal.
Banchakalpastaruvyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pabanevio Vaishnavevio Namo Namaha. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Yana Yana Salakaya Chaksur Unminitanjana Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Vishila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I just want to say a few things. Vishila Prabhupada, trying to glorify him. When I saw him last time, he visited Los Angeles Temple, New Dwarka, 1976. Right? That was the last time he visited. And then I'll mention a few things, and I'm going back tracking. 75, Mexico City, 72, Mexico City 2. So Los Angeles, New Dwarka Dam, Prabhupada said New Dwarka Dam was the ISKCON World Headquarters of the Western World, Prabhupada. Put it down in the nectar of devotion. So at that time when Prabhupada came in Los Angeles, imagine there were so many devotees, so many devotees, so many departments. There was Faith Studios, you know, Vandra Das was in charge of Faith Studios exhibition. There was a English BBT, the Back to Godhead magazine, the Spanish BBT, German BBT, Portuguese BBT. There were so many devotees. It was amazing to see devotees from all over the world. In Los Angeles, when Prabhupada arrived, the reception. And the way I look at Prabhupada in Los Angeles and New Dwarka, like when Krishna visited Dwarka, you know, with so much opulence and all the great personalities, you know, there was the Radha Damodar traveling party, Sankirtan was visiting. I don't know how so many devotees fit in the temple. There were so many, so crowded. So the kirtans and ecstasy. So Prabhupada surrendered by all his big sannyasis, big GBCs, I mean, it's impossible to get close, you know. What to speak of, like, to go to morning walk, mostly sannyasis and GBCs. But the atmosphere was so Krishna conscious, everybody in ecstasy with Srila Prabhupada. And I remember they showed in the movie to Srila Prabhupada, Spiritual Frontiers, and they showed New Vrindavan, they were cooking puris, you know, Prabhupada said, I want some puris. So they was around to the kitchen right away, and they had puris for Prabhupada. So like that. And he said, if you, in another lecture, he says, if you follow very strict, you know, what I'm giving you, the rules and regulations in chant Hare Krishna, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur come himself and take you to the spiritual world by the hand. He said like that. So it was a tremendous experience in Los Angeles. And now in 1975, in Mexico City, when he came, this is the second time he visited Mexico City. He liked the place. So we were more organized. We were more devotees and more organized. And that was, the temple that now belonged to ISKCON, we were renting it. There was an embassy before. So we made the best possible arrangements, reception for Srila Prabhupada. So the devotees went and talked to the government officials to get a special permit for Srila Prabhupada. As soon as he arrived in the airplane, he landed the airplane, there was a limousine, and there was two police motorcycles, one in each side. So Prabhupada don't have to go through customs and immigration. So he was down to his limousine, and the two police motorcycles, one in each side, you know, with the lights, all the way to the temple. So Prabhupada liked that very much. He said, thank you very much for this reception. You know, it's the first time that I've been having received like this, you know, this kind of greeting. Of course, we wash his Lord's feet, but he would have a big smile, Prabhupada. He said, I like very much the reception. Thank you very much. So the first time the police is calling me and I don't have to go to immigration and customs. Because, you know, Prabhupada traveling all over the world so many times, he has to go always through customs and immigration officials. He didn't like that so much. So he was very pleased. So there was devotees from all over South America and America, from all over the world. Like Prabhupada says, we are a big family. And you realize, like, here in Alachua, so many devotees from different countries. It's like Prabhupada said, we are a big family, ISKCON, you know. So, and then Prabhupada, he gave a small reception. He went to his quarters, you know, to take prasadam. So the GBC, Sanyas, he says, we were doing a big kirtan, and then the GBC says, stop the kirtan, Prabhupada wants to rest. He needs to rest. Everybody stop, be quiet. And then Prabhupada told him, why you stop the kirtan? Prabhupada, I think you wanted to rest. He said, no, I can rest with the kirtan. Tell him to continue. Tell him to continue the kirtan. So there was big kirtan. So then before Prabhupada arrived in Mexico City, he asked for security for some reason. He wants security. So if we form a group of devotees with security. We take turns, 24-hour security. So I was part of that group. So I took the late night shift, you know. So from 10 to 1 o'clock. So the devotee was supposed to be followed after. He never showed up. So I stayed longer. So I got to see Prabhupada, the time he went to sleep and the time he got up. He called Shruti Kirti, ringing the bell to get his things ready. So I'm sorry. So I was amazed how few hours Srila Prabhupada slept, you know, only a few hours. And I had to see how Shruti Kirti was making his meals of Prabhupada cooking, Prabhupada eating in small portions, you know. So eating a little bit, sleeping a little bit. So I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada's a great yogi, great personality. He only eats a little bit, sleeps a little bit, and he's working all day. As we're sleeping, he's working, you know. So in one of his lectures, he says, read my books, it's very important, you know. It will take you 25 years to read my books. He said, you have to study my books. So and then he gave instructions to the devotees in Mexico City, you have to have 5 classes a day of his books, every day. So we were going out on Sankirtan, and we have 3 classes in the morning, 2 in the evening. So another day when Prabhupada, all of the sun, he decided to walk around the temple, to inspect the whole temple room from top to bottom, every single room. It is like the general, you know, the military general army. He visits his military bases and checks everything, how everything's going on, how everything's running. So he didn't tell anybody. He just got up like at 3-4 in the afternoon, started checking every temple, kitchen, pujari room, temple room, the brahmachari ashram, the ladies ashram, everything. So he found some things, you know, like some flowers. He was disturbed about it. Why these flowers are here, you know, has to be more clean. So then he went to the roof. There were some brahmacharis sleeping, and Prabhupada said, "Why to the GBC, why these brahmacharis sleeping? They're supposed to be out preaching Sankirtan." So then, like that was Prabhupada, very meticulously and detail-oriented personality. You know, he was conscious and everything. There were some plants that they needed water. He says, these plants, they need to be watered. So they're living entities too. So the Prabhupada, he was asking, what are the Sankirtan devotees eating? You know, they're eating good prasadam? What do they eat? What is the menu? So Prabhupada was like that, very careful. And very, very concerned what the devotees eating, who's in Sankirtan, who's not. Dirty, the temple's dirty. He was checking everything. It's like the big Sankirtan general of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. There's no doubt about it. And at that time, he didn't go preaching outside the temple. He stays in his room. Just we used to bring different important, so-called important personalities to talk to Srila Prabhupada, and they can get Prabhupada's blessings like that. So morning walks, Prabhupada, we walk in, and he says, because everything is in Spanish, and it was a garbage trash container, and it says trash, you know, in Spanish, garbage, basura. Prabhupada said, what does it say there? What is the meaning? We told him it's trash. Prabhupada said, the whole material world is like that. It's a trash. It's garbage. It's useless. So, like that. In 1972, the first time he arrived, Prabhupada, we were only a few devotees. So, there was not so organized. The temple, we just finished painted, you know, and he says, wherever I go, it smells like paint. Every temple I visit smells like paint. And so, it was some initiation ceremonies, and it was a sannyas initiation ceremony. And then we have a preaching program for Prabhupada in a small town outside Mexico City, like 1 hour away. There's a lot of yoga groups, and Prabhupada gave a big lecture, kirtan and lecture, and he signed his book in Spanish, Is Your Journey to Other Planets, signed it to every person. There was a huge line of people signing the document, the book, Is Your Journey to Other Planets. So after that, he went to take lunch in the house of one devotee. So we went back to the temple, and then the Chitsukananda, the temple president, he says, Prabhupada, it was already late. He said, I forgot to tell you, we have a preaching program in TV, national television program, very important program. He said, it's very late, Prabhupada. It's going to be very late by the time we come back. He said, doesn't matter, let's go. Preaching is more important. So the program was 11 o'clock. 11 at midnight, you know. So Prabhupada went and gave a speech, chanting, and people like it. This national television, you know, millions of people watch it, more than 100 million people. So the news interviewer, reporter, asked Srila Prabhupada, can you give us your blessings to the people of Mexico? Can you give your blessings? Prabhupada said, yes, all the people in this country have my blessings. And then he said, so we went back to the temple, and Prabhupada said, I want some hot milk and puris. So it was already midnight, and Prabhupada drank his milk, hot milk, puris, and he says, this is pure life, preaching. This is our real life, just preaching. Eat a little prasad and preach. So the next few days, we used to go out and sell books, and people, they say, I watch your guru, I watch your spiritual master. I saw him, this Swami on TV, everybody. So we're taking the books. It's like Prabhupada was doing himself, the Sankirtan, distributing the books, you know, because so many people. They said, I saw your guru, I saw Swami on TV. Very nice, give me the book, like that. So for a long time. So Prabhupada liked it very much, you know, Mexico City temple, all his temples. And then he said, every temple is very important. So he didn't like very much, we close his temples. In one lecture, Prabhupada says, appearance and disappearance is the same thing. He says in one Vyasa Puja offering, or disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, disappearance day. So what I'm realizing, like we notice how Prabhupada, when he appeared, day after Janmashtami, you know, Nandotsava, the festival Nanda Maharaj celebrating Krishna's birthday. So that is the day that Srila Prabhupada appeared, you know, descended. To help us, to save the human race. And his disappearance day, as we know, in Karthi, Govardhan, in Montodamodar, in Vrindavan, surrounded by devotees chanting Hare Krishna, we know the pastime. So it's very significant, very glorious. And I just wanted to mention that so many important instructions of Srila Prabhupada. He says, your love for me will show how much you work and cooperate together to maintain this institution. So that's very significant. We should remember this always, especially today, every day. And like he said, this is a big family, you know, and then we have to follow his instructions. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to the same of the boys.
Taka Gopal, and then Samapriya, Lady Dasi.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Ganagana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmalitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruvaya Namaha. I had the good fortune to live in the beautiful Juhu Temple, Hare Krishna Land, Bombay for 5 years from 1990 to 95, and I was editing a magazine for the Life members, so I thought this would be a good opportunity to meet some of Srila Prabhupada's close friends there in Bombay that are still on the planet, while they're still on the planet. So I met with and wrote about Srimati Sumati Maharaji and Mr. Kartikeya Mahadevia and Mr. and Mrs. P.L. Shetty. And I wrote in my homage this year about some stories from Mr. Shetty, who Srila Prabhupada loved because he was very instrumental in helping Srila Prabhupada secure the Juhu property. And of course, Mr. Shetty adored Srila Prabhupada. His wife told me, whenever he goes to speak on Srila Prabhupada's appearance or disappearance day, I always put an extra handkerchief in his pocket because he cries. And he even cried more when Srila Prabhupada passed than he did for his own father. So the Shetty family, Mr. Shetty was originally born in what is now Pakistan, but they came over with the partition when his second son, Bridge Mohan, some of you may know him, I don't know, he was just a baby at that time, 1947. So Mr. Shetty's father was farming with cows in Himachal Pradesh. It's northwest India, in the town of Nalgarh. It's north of Chandigarh. And Mr. Shetty received word that his father had taken ill and was in a coma, breathing with oxygen. So he wanted to go there immediately. He told Srila Prabhupada this, and Prabhupada told him, "You may go to visit your father, but he will not be sick. He is okay." So he got on the bus, Mr. Shetty. It was about 1,000 miles, so it took a full 24 hours to get there. And when the bus arrived, his father was there to greet him at the bus station, alive and well. This is just another reason for Mr. Shetty to place his complete faith in Srila Prabhupada. So they were trying to get the deed to the Juhu property. It was very difficult with Mr. Nair. When Mr. Nair expired, Mrs. Nair brought the deed to present to Srila Prabhupada. She placed it at his lotus feet and began to cry, saying, "Whatever I've done, whatever mistakes I've committed, please pardon me." The deed was then finalized, and Srila Prabhupada sent someone, actually I think they phoned, he said, send for Shetty. So they phoned Mr. Shetty at 11:30 p.m. and requested that he come immediately. They just went in their night clothes, and with Srila Prabhupada's usual keen insight, he announced, "Now that the deed is finalized, I would like to start immediately collecting funds for the temple." Mr. and Mrs. Shetty just looked at each other because they hadn't even brought any money with. They had just come in their night clothes. And he noticed that she had 4 bangles on her wrists. So he just glanced at the bangles. She noticed that he was glancing. She took them off and handed them to Mr. Shetty, and he gave them to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "The donation for this temple starts with gold." Prabhupada was elated. One time Mr. Shetty, this is just the last one, it's very quick, said to his wife, why isn't Prabhupada asking someone to inquire about me? Because he was staying back, he was sick. Shortly thereafter, someone knocked at the door. And when Mr. Shetty answered it, it was Prabhupada himself. And he said, "Guruji, up?" He said, "Is it you?" And Prabhupada replied, "Why are you so surprised? You were wanting me to come, now I have come. You thought that no one was caring, so I came myself. So one time, one of the ladies asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how many times were you with your Guru Maharaj? Because from what we've heard, it seems like Prabhupada was, you know, only in the physical presence of his Guru Maharaj, you know, not much more than a handful of times. But of course, Prabhupada gave the magnificent answer. He said, since I have met my Guru Maharaj, he has never left me, not even for a moment. So I would like to pray to Srila Prabhupada. My prayer is to please keep me engaged somehow in your service, helping to push on this movement so that others will be blessed with your association. Thank you very much.
So Samapriya, and then Pashupati.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Narataka. That was what we all had to hear, especially today. So when the announcement was made in Los Angeles that Srila Prabhupada had passed, even the person who was making the announcement couldn't finish it. This day is very unique, and I realized just at that moment that everyone, all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples and followers, have their own mood and emotions in observing this day. And I was trying to think, is there a philosophical way that we can do this? And actually everything is trumped by our own desire and our own love for Srila Prabhupada. There's no right and wrong. If it's based on your love for Srila Prabhupada, some people will speak, some people won't speak, some people, even on that day, some people went out on Sankirtan. Other people just walked in a daze. Nobody knew really what to do. Most of us hadn't lost anyone. We were all very young. So this is the first time we experienced the loss of a loved one. So over the years, I have accepted and treasured the association of Srila Prabhupada through his books, teaching them, reading them, thinking of Prabhupada all the time. My father actually left his body about 25 years ago on Govardhan Puja, and the funeral was on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. So it was very intense, but I realized that I don't often think of my father, my birth father, but I think of Srila Prabhupada all day, every day. I read and think about what he says, and when I was realizing last night that this disappearance day shocks me, because I don't feel separated from Srila Prabhupada. I listen to what he says. I think about what he says. I beg to become his servant. So it really confuses me, although, and it's like a bombshell on the heart, because in one way it's true, in one way it's certainly not true, Srila Prabhupada showed by his example. So also I wanted to say thank you to Adikarta, because he's a real Sankirtan man. And his relationship with Srila Prabhupada is his service. That's all of our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. It becomes deeper and deeper and deeper with our service, in our service to him. So that's why he wants to stay in the material world, which I'm sorry I don't come up to that level. I don't want to stay in the material world. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said we should want to go back to Godhead. We know that we can be back to Godhead here by engaging in Krishna's service and making our life and soul Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So I prepared, or I I have two things that I wanted to read. One is very emotional and grave, and I don't know if I really want to do that. So I think I'm going to go for the feisty one. This is called, Am I Missing Something? Hey, dear friend, you're going to save me in the end because you think I haven't heard the absolute word and I only take shelter of my Guru Dave, but you say it's not enough and I'm living in a cave? That I'm missing something here, but you can't tell me what? Someone else wrote a book? Is that all you got? Srila Prabhupada's books are elixir for the soul, and just one word would melt a heart of coal. He wrote more than 60 for the whole human race, but the knowledge is dependent on your personal pace. Keep going deep and you'll see that it's true. How much you surrender is really up to you. Not that I'm denying there's a whole lot to say about the glories of the Lord and his divine play. Everyone has an angle from where he can pray, speaking words of wisdom in his own unique way. I salute all devotees wherever they are. It's a matter of vision, but I'll tell you so far. No one else did the job he set out to do. Empowered by the Lord, he saved more than a few. Srila Prabhupada Acharya, who does not cheat, he delivers Krishna's message pure and complete. He's the life of all those who surrender to his feet. So please don't be deluded by everyone you meet. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri.
So Pashupati and then Radhajivan Prabhu.
Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Paskya Chade Satarine. I think everyone in attendance here knows that there is a great debt that we owe to Srila Prabhupada, and it can never be repaid. I mean, we will try, spend the rest of our life trying, but it's very, very difficult. So, but when we hear more and more about him, the love that we feel increases, and then we feel an obligation to at least make a genuine attempt. A few years ago, Vishaka read some letters that had been donated by the Agarwal family in Pennsylvania after Prabhupada, I think it was actually after Sally passed away. And one of the things that broke my heart and actually was a real impetus for love was in one of the letters, apparently Sally was having some correspondence with Srila Prabhupada. And in one letter that Vishaka read it, Srila Prabhupada said to Sally, "Some nights I go to bed cold and hungry." He was writing from the Bowery in one of the places he was living in, and it was shocking to me. So all of us know how many sacrifices Srila Prabhupada made for us and to establish this movement. So I wanted to open with that only because it weighs heavily on my heart since I heard it here the first time. This is my offering, though. Dear Srila Prabhupada, they say there are seven wonders in the world, but your pure desire has manifest the eighth wonder of the world, which is the hub of the universe, Sridhar Mayapur. In the opinion of your followers, though, it is number one. You have fulfilled the desire of the previous acharyas, and your spiritual ambition has made it happen. Like so many other projects you undertook for the pleasure of the Lord, your focus also manifests the Brihat Madanga, the foremost BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. You are the strongest branch of the Chaitanya tree. You are the greatest general, Senapati, of Lord Chaitanya's army. You are the invincible mantra upasika, delivering the universe with this divine holy name. You have provided a house for us to live in, your ISKCON, which is non-different from you. In spite of the difficulties that come with growth, and there have been and will be, we see internationally your movement continues to grow by your mercy. We feel your presence. Your strong desire to please Srila Bhakti Siddhanta allowed you to live a life full of miracles. We are evidence of that, and we see it constantly. We love you and don't want to go anywhere except to stay in the society you created with others who love and appreciate your unfathomable glories. We are like small children who think their dad is the best. We want to shout it out loud and clear to the world that you are the foremost acharya now and forever.
Jai.
Thank you.
Radha Jivan Prabhu, and then Madan Mohan Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Today, all over the world, devotees, disciples are assembled to celebrate, to commemorate Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. But I see that Srila Prabhupada is constantly appearing in this world more and more in his books, in his teachings, in the inspiration that he gave to all of us, in the direction that he gave in our lives. The second generation that he has given to the world, who are most enthusiastic and determined to spread Krishna consciousness, to do kirtan, to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada more and more remains and manifests as the Acharya of the Yuga. The Sankirtan movement that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he predicted will last for 10,000 years. Srila Prabhupada will remain and become and manifest himself as the Acharya, as the person who is inspiring and directing us. There is a story in the Mahabharata where the demoniac Kaurava prince Duryodhan, one time in his young age, he captured over 1,000 kings and he put them captive in a cave. He did not kill them, but what he did was he was only offering one person's food to 1,000 kings every day, knowing that these kings would fight amongst each other for that food in order to survive. But the kings, they were pious, and they saw this prince, this Yudhishthir's plan. So they all made a deal and they sacrificed that food and they said, we will feed this food to one capable king who will be the cause of the death of this demoniac prince Duryodhan. And they sacrificed and they chose one king amongst them and they fed him and kept him alive. One by one, all the other kings, they gave up their lives. But after 40 days, when Duryodhan opened the cave, thinking that everybody would be dead, that one king came out. And he was the cause of the death and the destruction of the entire demoniac dynasty of the Kauravas. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada has physically left us, But so many of us, we can all cooperate amongst each other. We can all make sacrifices. And the greatest sacrifice is the sacrifice of our selfishness, our ego, our ahankar, and offer it to Srila Prabhupada in service and humility. And that way, we will keep Srila Prabhupada's teachings and we will keep Srila Prabhupada's influence alive and strong in this world. Who alone is capable of fighting this great Maya in Kali Yuga? So, dear Srila Prabhupada, on this day, I am blessed to be here to speak a few words in your glorification and to think of everything that I have gained from your mercy in my entire life, the association of devotees, the wonderful deities that you have given, all the festivities and festivals, and above most, the Harinam that you have awarded us. Srila Prabhupada, I beg you that I can remain humble, I can be sincere, and I can serve you with all honesty so that your mission, your movement, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision can go on benefiting the people of this world. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. It's such a wonderful experience. Yes. My connection with Srila Prabhupada is I'm always tantalized by the words in his books and his speeches. And so I have a couple that I picked out here that I'm thinking of. This one was written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I'm always thinking someone's going to say it, but since no one said it, I'll say it. He who reasons ill, who say that Vaishnavas die, when thou art still living in sound. Okay. Prabhupada's still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. Okay. Die to live, and living spread the holy name around. And then I was remembering a story from Mahabharata, I think it is, on Maharaj Yudhisthira was being asked a lot of questions. And one of the questions he says is, where do you find real religious principles? Where are real religious principles to be found? Everybody remember that story? Okay, he says that it's to be found in the hearts of the pure devotees. So there's a verse that when I was reading it the other day, it just seemed to me to really fit. This is from Canto 8, Chapter 7, Text 44. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of the people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is present in everyone's heart. So when I thought about that, we're noticing the real religious principles. We're noticing that heart. We're noticing, one time I had a experience about, you know, we say, Vancha Kopa Tujasja Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnevyo Namo Namaha. And we say it regularly, so sometimes when you say something regularly, it doesn't always have your full absorption. You just kind of say it. But I was thinking of it that day, that what's it mean to have that compassion, that are full of compassion, full, complete, up to here, full of compassion. And I'm chanting my, you know, Hare Krishna, I'm chanting my rounds to some degree of concentration. But this is in the kind of like bouncing around. You know how sometimes you may have a thought or two when you're chanting Hare Krishna? I don't know if anybody else has that experience. So I happened to have the thought of this compassion kept coming back and back in my mind. And then by whatever it was, I got some glimpse, I feel, that Srila Prabhupada was sharing some of what compassion means. And it stopped me from chanting. I couldn't chant, I couldn't do anything for about 15 minutes. But everything that Prabhupada did was out of compassion. The living entities, we were suffering. I don't know, maybe no one in here is, but generally it's a fairly complete package that everyone's suffering from one way or another. We even see the difficulties that Prabhupada went through. We just heard about that. He goes to bed hungry and cold sometimes. So everybody's experiencing this. And so I started thinking about compassion, how it stabilizes your ability to keep right on track in Krishna consciousness, how compassion has this amazing other aspects of it that automatically it puts you beyond the bodily conception of life, because we know that a karmi is someone who thinks this material world is for his enjoyment, and he tries to arrange the material nature in such a way that he'll become happy here. They put a name on that consciousness. It's not just that it's something that I think of all the time, but if you do think in that way, it's called a karma. And then there's someone who comes to the end of that and recognizes this world's actually not so nice. Atata Brahmajit, how do you get out of it? So they're the elevationists or the jnanis. They want to stop this process. But they're still suffering. So the karmi, he may not think he's suffering if he overcame some of the daily problems. But in bhakti, one sees that whether you're happy or sad. Prabhupada would say, if you're successful in this world, that is your greatest defeat. So you hear things like that, and how long does it take before one can understand that success is also a type of defeat, because you're being attached to the material world, you're going to have another body. So when you have the compassion, like the book distributors do, they can understand that unless one comes to Krishna consciousness, this happiness and distress of this material world will just give you another body. So Srila Prabhupada was the emblem of this compassion, and it's his mission, and it has everything in it. So as soon as it develops more and more, then everything clarifies. It's just an amazing emotion that Srila Prabhupada was the acharya for. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So this evening, offerings will continue. I believe Achyutananda Prabhu will be here after the evening artik, disappearance artik for Srila Prabhupada. There will be more offerings. And as I said, Achyutananda Prabhu will be here. I believe I have one pastime of Srila Prabhupada that I would like to share, and that is at my initiation that took place, I went into Srila Prabhupada's room, and so immediately, of course, I paid my obeisances and very loudly chanted the Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. And then I called out, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada immediately said, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And so for a second I was bewildered completely. And then I realized that, of course, he was speaking of his Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And so this was a great lesson for me that whatever, because one sees that Srila Prabhupada was being given so much worship and so much attention, and that one immediately put oneself in that position and thought, well, you know, if I was in that position, you know, But Srila Prabhupada was not in that, in the positions that we're in. And he immediately saw that everything that was being offered to him was actually an offering to his spiritual master. That is the great lesson. That he is connecting us with this incredible Madhva Gaudiya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, this succession, this parampara of great devotees and great acharyas. And this is our great mercy and our great blessing that we are able to take advantage of Srila Prabhupada's mercy in this way and be connected to, through this sampradaya, to Lord Chaitanya and ultimately to Lord Krishna himself. So now we're going to have the Pushpanjali and then the Artik to Srila Prabhupada and to the deities. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.